Hello.
Hi, JR. It's Marcia.
Hi, Marcia.
Okay, we'll get started.
All right.
Hello, you're listening in to the Conca. We'll start again. Hello, you're listening to the Comcast Lessons Learned series. This is Marcia Layton Turner, small business author and consultant, and today I'm speaking with JR Samples, Chief Encouragement Officer for Accountability Partners, about how business development provides a revenue engine for a company's long-term growth and success. Chicago-based Accountability Partners provides business growth and management development consulting services. Thanks so much for joining me, JR.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Marcia.
I think this is a really interesting topic, and I know our listeners are going to learn a lot from you in these next few minutes. Why don't we start by talking about what business development is and isn't? I think a lot of us are confused by the difference between business development, sales, and marketing. So can you kind of clear that up?
Absolutely. It can be a very confusing set of terms, if you will, and it sometimes takes years to figure out what they exactly mean. But starting with the fundamentals and from a sales side, the typical roles of sales are prospecting, qualifying, presentations of the company's services and solutions, and then providing a proposal of those and closing, overcoming objections, etc. And it's that first role of prospecting and sales that I think many people get confused to include marketing and business development that's included in that role, and actually can be part of that, but it's very different because from a marketing side, you really do want to be looking in-depthly to your customer segment, exactly what you do, where you do it, how your service offerings are different, and coming up with some very different, unique value propositions. So the marketing part of that sometimes gets overlooked in just one of an activity where it's really important to back up from that and really take a look at the business. And then on the business development side, those things are typically speaking events, sponsorships, conferences, industry boards, areas that are very relational that you can influence business. And so if you look at marketing and what's included and then business development as these separate areas, I think you start seeing a distinction between those and sales.
So it sounds like marketing is sort of more analytical in terms of figuring it out exactly who your customers and prospects are, and then the business development is establishing that contact and maintaining the relationship. Did I get that right?
Yes, and I think getting out into the market and aside from the prospecting that your sales force would do or your marketing events are targeted at, it's those other places that you can go and create awareness and generate new business opportunities.
It sounds like there's a lot of potential or a lot of work to be done in business development. Is there a minimum size that a company should be? How large should a company be before it establishes a business development process? Are there a certain number of employees that need to be in place or not?
Well, there's a many times you've heard the question is how many salespeople do you have in your company? And the answer, of course, is everyone. And in truth, the sales roles are very specific, and there's expertise required by the sales force to be effective. So I wouldn't necessarily say that everyone's in sales, but I would say that everybody's in business development. And business development itself has to be a mindset of all the employees. So, this is the people, talking to everyone they come in contact, certainly in a business setting, but also in a social setting, to really make sure that they're communicating what the company does and how it's different. In terms of having a dedicated person, I would say your priority should be first to have an effective marketing campaign and marketing department. Second would be the appropriate staffing of your sales team. And then thirdly, at the time that the company has some different business development initiatives identified, that are quantifiable that they can afford a dedicated business development person. But I think many times the first step is just making sure there's awareness of everyone in the company that business development is in everyone's job description.
That's great. So whether you're a one-person operation or have 50 or 1,000 people, it's really everybody can get involved.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think in terms of the dedicated person, many times it's the owner themselves that, you know, they work themselves out of a job in the doing of the work so that they can be in a place of influence, and many times they themselves take over that primary business development position for the firm.
Well, you mentioned a couple minutes ago some of the activities that are involved in business development. Can we talk a little bit more about, you know, what kinds of activities does the business development process consist of?
Well, I think in terms of the areas of activity, you know, there's simple things such as the Chamber of Commerce and Rotaries. There's industry conferences, and here again, the organization has to make it a priority to allow people on their staff to go to these conferences and pay for them to go. But there's also networking groups. There's many times local lead sharing groups of, you know, 8 to 15 people that literally anybody in the company could participate in. It doesn't just have to be the salesperson or the marketing person or the business owner. There's a variety of associations. There's a lot of places to go to start meeting and influencing business. And I think the last piece to business development that I think of is the development of strategic partnerships with other organizations that can either refer you in along with their solutions, or in some cases, integrate or embed your product, services, and solutions within theirs. And so all of a sudden you've created a separate revenue channel, you know, outside direct sales and direct marketing.
Interesting. Well, it sounds like there's so much that can be done that business development can be somewhat time-consuming. What are the biggest benefits or potential benefits a small business can realize as a result of doing all this? Because I think probably some of the listeners are thinking, you know, wow, I don't really have time for that. So let's sell them on what are you going to get if you spend all this time networking and establishing relationships?
Well, building on the last point there, I think the most substantial benefit is finding another business partner that can leverage you into their channel or into their sales force. Into their customer base, and those become real big wins from a standpoint of the best employees and the best prospects really come when another credible business has recommended you into those accounts. And I think to the degree that if a company is struggling with margins, and many times in this economy they are, when referrals come in from that strategic partner, they many times allow the company to hold higher margins because there's less competition, if any, within those sales. So it can be a very important and effective way to gain customers and gain customers at your higher margins.
I'm sold.
When do we start?
That's right. For companies that do introduce a business development process or function in their organizations, where do they typically fall short? You know, where are the problems?
I would say there's about five areas that I typically see where companies fail in this process. And I think, Marcia, even as you had mentioned earlier, a lot of people think of this as a person's job or somebody they have to go out and hire. And that's the first error, if you will, is that you have to set that expectation that over the course of a week or a month or a year, whatever is appropriate within the firm's solutions, that everyone is going to participate in some level, that this is a group activity. The second is business development only gets done inconsistently as opposed to a normal part of the day-to-day business. So a lot of times somebody, you know, we see the pipeline drying up, and then it's panic city, and everybody jumps on this business development side, and it's very inconsistent. The third error is that when it does get started, in many cases the environment I just mentioned, it's forgotten after a couple of weeks. So there's this start and stop process that really is detrimental. The fourth area is firms do not track and measure their results. And then the fifth area is they have to have a recognition and reward system. You need to publish and recognize the people that are doing it, and you need to reward them. It can be, restaurant gift certificates. It can be everybody loves cash, of course, but there has to be that recognition and reward system as part of that. So those five areas are where I see a disconnect when people do try to get started.
And it seems like the solution really is to establish some tracking mechanism so that you know what's working and, be able to divvy up the rewards and recognize the people who are doing a good job. So can you recommend a simple way, maybe the simplest way to track business development efforts and results?
The simplest way is to create a spreadsheet that tracks 10 critical areas. The areas you need to track are the staff person's name that's doing the initiative. Second is the date of the initiative. Third is the type of initiative or event. Fourth is quantifying the attendance in some respects. Sixth is the number of personal contacts made at that event, whether that's business cards collected or badges swiped, or whatever it might be. A seventh area are just some comments that the staff person can make about the event. And then after that, you start tracking some more metrics over a period of time. And those metrics would be the first sales appointment date, whether that's a phone call or a face-to-face or a webinar. And then you want to track a proposal or quote date. Third, you'd track the close date. And lastly, you would track the sale amount. So as this is a living and breathing document, and if anybody would like a template, they're welcome to email me. But it's a living and breathing document that is filled out and ongoing, that you're able to see the business development activities, and then you can start seeing its impact on the sales appointments, its impact on proposals, and its impact on closed business.
That sounds like such a great tool to make sure that anyone gets access to you. Could you give your email address?
It's jr@accountabilitypartners.com.
Great. They probably would find that if they went to the website, but I just
yes, correct.
Sure, that sounds like such a useful tool. So we've talked about a lot here in the last few minutes, but what's the first thing that listeners should do now, given what they've just learned from you about the importance of business development? How can they get started?
Well, the first thing I would suggest is resist the urge to implement the ready, shoot, aim philosophy and spend some quality time in the ready and the aiming phases, which we really discussed earlier as part of marketing. Really understand your best market segment, your unique value, and brainstorm on some out-of-the-box methods for reaching those prospects. The second thing I'd recommend is that they rally the troops. Get the team together for a discussion on how everybody can help find new ideas and approaches to the market. The process gets the staff engaged, and it also emphasizes the fact that business development has a role for everyone in the business. And lastly, there can be a benefit of an outside facilitator to guide the process, add best practices, and also benefit sometimes from an arm's length perspective. So those are the three areas I'd recommend.
Okay, that's great. Well, JR, thank you so much for being here today and for sharing so much great information about business development. I know I learned a lot. And as always, thank you for listening in to Comcast Lessons Learned.